Welcome to the From the Fairway podcast. I'm your host, Michael Kinkler, a mental performance coach that helps elite level athletes master their minds and increase performance. With me today is my co-host, one of the best golf instructors I know, my former college teammate and friend, Tony DiSilvestro. Tony, how are you?
Doing good, buddy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm excited.
Good. Yeah, me too.
I'm amped up off some golf on the weekend and looking forward to the Players this week. It's a big week.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a big week. You know, the signature event, as Lucas Glover put it, and I don't argue with any of his statements that he made this weekend either.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into some of that here at the back end. But before we get to that, and before we get to recapping some of the action and some of Scotty's great play this week, just wanted to take a moment and kind of give you guys a little insight, kind of our vision and reason behind our podcast here. But Tony, as a golf instructor, myself as a mental performance coach, you know, we got together and felt like we have a pretty substantial amount of knowledge and insight and expertise in helping golfers play their best. And so we thought to ourselves, you know, what if we, why don't we get together, talk about it, create a space that we can share our passion and our expertise and really just our passion for golf and watching golf as a fan also, and share all that with the rest of the golf community. So really our vision here is to engage with you guys, spark some curiosity with our conversation, and create just a real genuine interest in learning more about high level golf gets played, both mentally and physically, and also just keeping up with current events in and around the world of professional golf. There's a lot going on in the world of professional golf, and so we thought, you know, what better way to cover than that and some honest, fun, engaging conversation. So if that's something that you're interested in, you've come to the right place. So welcome in. And speaking of high-level golf getting played, Scottie Scheffler, my gosh, a final round bogey-free 66, I believe, right? Yep. Gave him a five-shot victory at the API this last weekend. So some extraordinary play from Scottie. And let's start right there. Tony, I guess just initial reactions to the week and seeing a little bit of that performance yesterday.
Yeah, he's been playing great. There's a reason he's been number one in the world. But, yeah, this week he finally put it all together, and I talk with my students a lot about this. How many times is Scottie going to win this year? Who knows? But for him to win, even the best player in the world, all of the facets of his game, mentally, physically, putting, short game, driving, accuracy, all of those things have to be firing all at once to win. Rarely do the best players in the world win with their B game, right? And that's what I thought was impressive this week. 24 putts in that last round is – that's not a lot of putts.
No, so, not a smacks with a little stick, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the club that was kind of – escaping him, right? The right. Piece that wasn't piece. Allowing him to win.
Exactly.
Yeah. He finally put it together.
I think it's kind of putter. Insane how close he has been to winning without that piece of his game. And there's absolutely been some tournaments he has won without that. And
no
to
kidding.
Be honest, I'd be a little frightened if I was some other players if he gets his putter going and he could go on a pretty deep run here.
Yeah, especially because, again, you're just looking at the stats from the round, his fourth round, he only hit 10 greens. Mm-hmm. 10 greens and 24 putts.
Yeah.
Do the math. That's a lot of up and downs.
Yeah.
It's a absolutely. Lot of up and downs.
Yeah. You know, and I think watching Scottie play this week and seeing everything really come together, you know, it helped me kind of realize just – I don't know, the importance, I guess, of having an awareness and understanding of how really good golf gets played, you know. Obviously, there's a lot of ways good golf gets played, but I think if you kind of reduce it down to a handful of really important physical and mental elements, the same recipe shows up for winner after winner.
Definitely. Right?
And so I kind of want to start there with you and just get your take on maybe your 3, 4, 5 pieces that go into a recipe for really good golf getting played.
Yeah, I mean, without diving into each one of them right now, I'd like to hear yours as well before we do. I mean, it's mindful practice. There's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot to be discussed there from a coaching standpoint. But again, I think these 3 points are how, as a golf coach, I prepare my athletes for tournaments, right? Mm-hmm. And then proper tournament prep, and that's not so much the practice, but that week leading up to the tournament, what are you doing? And then the last thing is just to have fun when you're out there. We all play better golf. Yeah. Something that took me a long time and a lot of you telling me for me to get. But, you know, as a coach, it's priority number one for me with my students. So, yeah, I'd say those are my three big key points.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm pretty much in line with each of those three. And, you know, I'll jump in a little bit more with mine here. But to begin with, yeah, that enjoyment piece, right, that's a constant, right, that has to be there for high levels of performance to happen, right? And all the athletes that I work with, right, I don't think I've met an athlete that when they perform well doesn't enjoy what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think the great athletes are able to enjoy when performance isn't there, right? They're able to kind of embrace that struggle, those hard practices, right? That's got to be there, that enjoyment factor. And if it's not there, right, that passion, that motivation to really get after it isn't there, right? So, and kind of viewing this through Scotty's performance this week, right? Like, obviously, Scotty enjoys what he's doing out there, right? And I think, you know, I saw a tweet from another mental performance coach out there, and it said, people and athletes that love what they're doing don't look like they're at work.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And absolutely, right? Like, you know, if you were to watch Scotty practice, like, I'm sure it's intense, right? But I don't know. I'd see it as he's loving what he's doing, and it probably doesn't feel like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Putting over the last few weeks maybe has felt like work. But mm-hmm. everything else, like, when you're striking the ball as well as him, there's no way that feels like work.
And you know that the guys in his camp are – they're saying that. They're going, man, let's enjoy the fact that your putter isn't hot. Like, yeah. If the rest of it's firing like this,
right?
Man, we just got to get this tiny little flat stick to work.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
The potential, right? And to your point, that's so – having fun with what you're doing and mindful practice and proper tournament prep all tie into that idea of, like, it's not just one event.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe there are the golfer that is playing their first competitive golf round, but that's one of what should be hundreds more, right? It's not
right.
It's a long journey for sure.
Yeah, another big piece for me, this idea of giving up control to gain control, right? Letting go of worries about score, about results, about win or lose, right? And simply letting things happen, right? And I think Scotty did a great job of this all week and honestly constantly does this very, very well. He's very much in the moment and lets things happen. And we know that, right, when athletes try to control everything and force things to happen unnaturally, right, performance is not there, right? But when athletes mm-hmm. are able to kind of let go of their performance and let it happen, right, they perform better, and ironically, they feel more in control, right? So it's right. this weird kind of given up to gain control scenario, and I think Scotty did a great job of that. Also, obviously, this is cliche, but a true one-shot-at-a-time focus.
Yeah.
You know, Scotty, I think he said, he knew he had a, you know, a couple shot lead going into the back nine, but he really didn't know that it was five or four. I think he said he glanced at a leaderboard on maybe 16 or something like that, but just truly locked into each and every shot. And just from a body behavior standpoint, like, you could tell that was the type of focus that he had. It was just, all right, this is a tee shot. This is what I got to do. I got to putt here. Like, it was so segmented type of focus. Every shot, and it was really impressive to watch.
Yeah, everybody's heard the stories of Tiger making the game within the game for himself, and one of the big ones that he always played with himself, and I love, it's not happened a bunch of times in my life, but when it does, it's a great feeling.
Sure.
And something I think every tour player strives for, and Scotty hasn't said this, but maybe he was going, man, today my biggest goal is just go bogey free.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll just that a little switch can allow exactly what you were saying, where, yeah, I knew I had a few stroke lead, but I wasn't sure how many, because my goal wasn't to beat the next guy on the leaderboard. My goal was to win the day for myself.
Yeah.
And again, who knows if that was a goal he had for himself yesterday, but that's right. Just one of those little ones.
Certainly,
right?
Looks like, or feels like it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
In the way that he played.
He could have put it on cruise control.
Right.
But he was like, nope, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no reason for him to put it in cruise control. I mean, it seemed like he was in cruise control, but he was still going at pins, and because it was there, right? Ball striking's there.
And isn't that just a tough part of golf? It's not you against the field. It's you against the golf course, right? And he exemplified that absolutely. All week, but especially on that fourth round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then lastly, in terms of this recipe for how high-level golf gets played, absolutely there's got to be the physical skill there, right? Mentally, I can work with athletes on all these things and help them build their mental toolkit, right? But there has to be some physical skill there. And it has to be, for golfers, obviously repeatable, right? A repeatable action that they can kind of go to consistently throughout a round. Like that's a constant that has to be there. But an important constant nonetheless, because if that's not there, then none of the other stuff really matters.
Yeah, for me, I think that ties back into my mindful practice. Mm-hmm. And under there, I've just got that practice geared toward tournament performance improvement, right?
Yeah.
And that was a thing that took me way too long to understand, right? You keep your stats and whatever, but if you're not doing something with those
right.
that you keep,
yeah.
If you're okay, I hit 7 fairways. Mm-hmm. He's got to hit 10 of 14 in that final round. Probably not. He doesn't need to go looking at the driver. Driver was pretty good.
Right.
But say you just couldn't hit the fairway. Well, what are you going to do then during the week of practice before the next event? And this is with high school players too, right? When you get into a season, everybody's playing once a week.
Right.
If you're playing tournament golf, that's how it works. And so what are you going to do with that week in between to look at your stats and go, man, here's the good, here's the bad, here's the otherwise. What am I going to do with this bad and otherwise, and how am I going to mentally lean into the positive, right?
Yeah.
And again, to what you were saying, self-awareness with a repeatable swing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it repeatable? With my students, maybe I say something that clicks. Okay, great, that clicked, we got the result, but why? What did you feel?
Sure.
I need your why, not just mine.
Right, making those connections is what makes it meaningful, right?
Because, yep.
Yeah, you can make those connections for them, right? And this is similar to kind of in my realm and in my sessions with athletes, right? Like, I can make the connections for them, right? Mm-hmm. I can see it, but can they, right? And in terms of a positive change and motor skill learning in your case, right? Like, athletes don't make those changes and develop those skills if they themselves aren't aware of those connections and they can't make them, and the whole thing doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And the last thing, which ties into what you were saying about here and now, present moments, for me also ties back into practice. You need to be mentally present when you're practicing at the same level that you are on the course. There shouldn't be like, oh, I'm teeing it up, I'm lacing it up harder right now.
Right.
Why? We didn't practice at that level. It's just like basketball players have part of their basketball practice that's game speed.
Right.
For a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Golf's just different that I can't, and I struggled with this playing so often. It's like, man, why can I go shoot great scores with the guys at practice when I don't care? And then I get so ready to... Well, because I've just mentally put myself in a completely different speed, right?
Yeah.
And that's something I really work with my students. Practice should be fun, but playing should be fun too, right?
Right.
So there should be that balance at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I look for consistency across it, right? You talk about mental intensity between practice and competition, right? And obviously competition elicits a little bit more emotion and a little bit more intensity, right? But it shouldn't be head and shoulders different than the intensity and the intentionality that you bring and the emotions that you bring in practice, right? We kind of turns into the myth of the extraordinary effort, right? And the extraordinary performance and these bigger events, right? Athletes feel the need that they have to do more, that they have to try harder, that they have to focus more, right? And that's a product of the environment. But the reality is no, a big event doesn't need more focus. It doesn't need you know, this insurmountable extra gear of performance. It just needs the consistent best effort, best focus, best performance that you could give, right? And when athletes kind of understand that, right, those big moments, those big events aren't so nerve-wracking, aren't so anxiety-provoking, right? They feel much more comfortable because they know they don't have to do anything extra. They just have to do what they always do and do it to the best of their abilities, obviously, right? But it doesn't take this extra effort, so.
Well, and it's interesting to me that you and I ended up in the right professions for how we were even as teammates, right? And you were mentally sound and quiet and even keel, where I was not. And I'm not saying that you didn't practice or work just as hard as I did, but for me to have the mental confidence, I had to physically get the amount of reps.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's so great to work with my students now to be like, hey, let's do this right the first time.
Yeah.
And I can save you a lot of the time that I wasted.
Yeah.
But it's also the physically demanding part of it that I get. And you get too, but the mental part was where you kind of buttered your bread, if you will. You know?
Yeah.
Just interesting to me.
Yeah. Of those kind of elements that we've outlined, what do you feel like some of your amateur players and students that you work, what do you feel like they struggle with the most? Like,
I think one of the biggest things that I see consistently with all of my athletes, not even my juniors playing competitively, but even the men's league guy, right?
Yeah.
Presence. I think the moment forces a lot of our younger athletes to be present, like when they're playing, but it's rolling over into that practice of like, oh, man, I just got out of school, coach, you know, like boys are going to the rant. Yeah, but what are you going to do with it?
Right.
What game are you going to play?
Yeah.
And, again, keep it fun, but I think that's the biggest thing that I see a lot of, and you answer the same question, but it's that presence, practicing presence, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and I know in golf too, like you see a lot of block practice, right? A lot of ball beaters that just hit balls to hit balls, right? And that's a tough cycle to break, right? Because traditionally thinking, you think reps, you think doing the thing, right, is work, right? And is progressing you towards, you know, the goals that you have for your game and your performance, right? But, you know, as we know, breaking that cycle of block practice and doing stuff with intentionality and not hitting 25 seven irons in a row, right, is the way to go, right? Mixing up practice, hitting the targets, going through pre-shot routines. And it all comes back to discipline and intentionality, right? Like practicing with a purpose and having the discipline to realize that you can't just go and beat balls and expect to get better.
Yeah, and back to the 25 seven irons in a row point, you go to a golf lesson and a lot of the time you're going to sit there with your eight iron for an hour.
Sure.
But that is not equal to hitting 25 eight irons in a row.
Right.
You can go hit as many eight irons or seven irons or whatever on the range as you want if you're not reacting to the outcome of the golf shot.
Sure.
Have you decided, okay, today I'm going to work on my trail elbow doing X, Y, or Z. Today I'm going to work on my hips holding so that the club can be more square through impact or whatever. But if you can retrain your brain to train that, not the ball flight,
right,
or react to what the ball does,
it sounds
so simple, but that is one of the biggest hurdles with golf instruction, is getting people, even in a lesson, to get that. But then the better players, getting them to understand, okay, well, coach, I went and hit a bucket of balls yesterday. What'd you work on, though?
Right.
Well, then that was a waste of a bucket of balls. Somebody else has to go pick those up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, paying attention to what truly is most important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a skill, absolutely. And I think, you know, kind of taking this back to Scotty, and just his really, really good focus on truly what's important, right, in the present moment. You know, I think I saw that most I don't know, maybe more so than ever with his putting, you know, and it just looked different, his routine, and just, I don't know, it just seemed like it was slower and more in control in terms of the, you know, 50 seconds that he was getting ready to hit a putt, right? And maybe that's just the illusion that comes with him actually making some putts, right? But watching some of the early coverage on Thursday and Friday, you know, PGA Tour Live, you see a little bit more than just like the cut shot right to it, right?
Right.
You see, you know, the 20, 30 seconds of mm-hmm. him reading a putt or watching someone else hit a putt.
It's probably aggravating to everyone but you and I.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it seemed like there was more comfort and just like a sense of control that he felt that I don't know if that he's felt that with his putter in a while.
Yeah. So I know my belief on what that is, what from when you watch it, what would you say was rushing him versus what has got him slowed down now? Is that, what would you say it is?
I feel like obviously he changed putters for mm-hmm. if you guys didn't see this week, he had a mallet putter in there and switched from a blade, and I know Tony has a lot to say on that and we'll get there right, but take away the tech and science behind it and reduce it down to a simple change, right? And what we know from change is hard, right? Change is admitting that there's an issue, right? And I know Tony and I had talked, you know, months ago, just talking about the year and season and who to watch this year, and we were talking about Scotty's putting, and it was, I think I made the comment that, like, hey, right now, like, he's just going on business as usual, right? That his strategy was to just, no, there's not a problem. Like, we're just going to ride this out, and it's going to be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making the change, right, was him admitting to that, like, hey, I need to do something about this.
Yeah, for right? sure. For me, and this is not just Scottie Scheffler. This is probably anyone listening. He gets... What was happening was he was rushing to impact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything in his routine that settles him to allow him to be hitting the ball at the right moment was rushed because he was worried about impact. Okay,
yeah.
And this is with your full swing. This happens to a lot of amateurs because they're reacting to what the ball did last. This goes back to not reacting to a golf shot, but a golf swing.
Right.
When you are trying to not make the same thing happen twice, you rush to the result, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what – or the reason. And the reason is how you struck the ball. Now, if I rush to that, my timing on my backswing and follow-through is going to be messed up, and I'm completely forgetting about the follow-through.
Yeah.
Right? So, to me, that was just what was so simple.
Yeah, that's what looked different was, like, uncertainty mm-hmm. is the word that comes to mind was, like, with the blade and with the way he was putting before, everything just looked rushed and hurried. And I would, in my professional opinion, attribute that to just uncertainty about the result that was upcoming, the impact, all of it, right? And now I feel like with the change, with acknowledging that, hey, I need to do something different, I need to approach this in a different way, right? I feel like that brings a sense of calmness. I feel like that brings a sense of, I don't know, almost like feeling a little bit relieved that, like, hey, I don't just have to try to make this work. I can change my approach. I can feel more comfortable with this, and I can be more certain that that ball is going to bounce off my putter face the way that I want.
And so from a coach standpoint and a tools standpoint, it's really simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went from a toe-balanced putter
right.
that had a two-way miss.
Yeah.
To a face balance putter
yes.
that now has a one-way miss.
Yeah.
Okay? You, yourself, have been through this experience. And so you could probably speak to it better than I have. And before somebody wants to out me on it, yes, I do not use a face balance putter myself. Okay? But it is the strongest piece of my game. It is the most confident part of my game. And I've never felt like I didn't have control over my putter or know why I pushed or pulled. I rarely pull putts. You usually tend to push them, if anything.
Yeah.
For you, was there ever that aha moment when you switched where it was like, well, I missed and now I know why? Or with the blade, it was like, Well, I just, I'm not sure why I'm missing this way or the other.
Yeah, it just felt more consistent. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like the misses were just so inconsistent or just, I don't know. It felt like I had a constant. Like it mm-hmm. knew, I knew essentially where and why.
Because the face is balanced, the arc is straighter or less.
Yeah.
And it allows you to focus more on what your hands and your forearms yeah. and your shoulders
it
are
just,
doing.
It just felt like it was reducing a variable.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way to reducing uncertainty, which increases confidence, which la-da-da-da, performance. Right?
That is my only job, and I would imagine a lot of what your job is with mental performance, to get you to understand that I want to have the most simple math equation yes, possible.
Exactly.
I didn't pass college algebra for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure some smart guy said more simpler at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and the other thing, too, as I zoom out and think about Scotty and putting, right? I can only imagine how jarring it probably felt for him to have been striking it at a just unreal, just a ridiculous rate, right? Like mm-hmm. literally best ball striker, a run of ball striking stats in the last, I don't know, 6 months maybe, going mm-hmm. back to last year, where he's just been head and shoulders better than everyone. How jarring do you feel like it was to feel so in control of off the tee, approach play, wedge play, irons, all of it, and then get to the green and just have that bit of uncertainty that does not match up with the rest of your game. Like, that's got to feel a little bit jarring.
You're exactly right. Crazily jarring. But when I hear you saying all of this, it makes me think back to, we've got a lot of high school athletes that are just now coming into their high school golf season.
Yeah.
And listen to what Michael is saying. Scottie Scheffler is far and away the best golfer on the PGA Tour right now, arguably in the world. And he didn't have it all going.
Right.
But was staying mentally present enough to get it done.
Yeah.
You're going to go through so much of this season and not have it all firing. But use those as positives, not negatives. That, and it's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
But that's why you have coaches and people around you to help you figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, it's got to be for Scotty. The guy's so stoic to begin with, though. I think
right. He's
got this uncanny ability to sign a scorecard, go give his wife a big hug, and
remember
why he's Scotty Scheffler, not be defined by what his putter's doing.
Right. Scotty is great at keeping things in perspective. He's going to get a whole bunch of perspective here soon as a parent. So you know what I mean? So
yeah. No, I don't, but you do. Well, I do. And I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And, you know, I think if other golfers, you know, insert some other professional golfer, maybe with a little bit different attitude, mindset, and perspective, I don't know if they would be able to ride out kind of those putting woes.
You mean like if Tyrrell Hatton?
Yes.
Couldn't putt the way he putts,
but
had to hit the ball like Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
He would tell you, I'll take that today, and would be the most frustrated person you've ever seen.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
So I think that just goes a long way in kind of giving us a glimpse into Scotty's attitude and mindset towards golf and towards life and just perspective in general, right? Like, he's got the perfect kind of attitude to just roll with it and keep going. And props to him for making a change, because that's hard. Like I said, making a change is really acknowledging that things aren't going well, and that's not always easy to do.
No. And this guy, the coach he's working with, is escaping me now, but they're not done.
No.
They're making very small adjustments.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. A putter switch is a big adjustment.
Yeah.
But not for the best in the world. He still understands that his body has to control the tool.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. So, Scotty, plus 1.09 strokes gained putting for the week, plus 3.88 in round four. That's
24 putts, 10 of 18 greens. I say it again.
Yeah. Pretty lethal combination on that course with some thick rough, some quick greens,
Was shaking down flag sticks all day.
Absolutely.
And in this first couple rounds, and the ball wouldn't even hold the green.
Yeah. Just real impressive.
They had that
stuff.
Thing firm and fast this week, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you know, in rounds two and three, you know, a fair amount of bogeys, right? But stayed the course, bounced back, made a lot of birdies to match it, and just hung around. I think he was 70, 71 maybe over the couple, middle two rounds, but a 67
sure
and a 66.
I'm sure there's some bounce back stat out there.
There is.
But this guy's got to have it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Anything else? Any other takeaways from Scotty, the win at the API?
Nice beard.
Yeah, looked good.
Yeah.
Trimmed it up.
Yeah.
It's solid.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be getting any Scotty. Hey, you look like Scotty.
No.
References.
No, you won't. Maybe
I did say the other day to my roommate, I said, you know, get a lot of the John Rahms. If it ever gets to Shane Lowry, that's when I know I need to get back to the gym. So, you know.
Shout out to Shane. Pretty good.
Great week.
Pretty last couple weeks have been good.
Yeah.
We'll talk players' picks later, but I kind of – he's going to be up there. Plays well in Florida.
He does strike it well
Florida
for that
resident,
course, too.
Local, right? Yeah. So, always a good pick. Plays well in wind. And if I don't even look at the weather yet, but if they get one of those cold years again, like a couple years back where all the pampered tour players get bitchy and moany about 55 degree and wind, I think Shane has got the right mental fortitude to kind of not really care about that and go about his business.
Oh, most definitely. So, that's how he grew up.
Absolutely. So, can we talk Rory a little? For those that weren't watching early coverage on Thursday and Friday, Rory hit the ball into the water three times on the par 5 sixth, a reachable, somewhat reachable, pretty reachable par 5, not an easy hole at all. But from the fairway, I think one was he had like 6-iron from 200, hooked it in the water. I think he had one from like 220-something, fairway again, hooked it in the water. I think he had...
Is this like a 10 cup moment or is it a forced carry? I, for the life of me, cannot picture this hole right
big,
now.
It's the big dog legger on the lake.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Remember when Bryson?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good drives and good spots to go for it.
And but then did just decide to 10 cup it and not lay up at any point.
No. I think he went for it on Saturday. I think he made par.
So he rinsed three and then the fourth one he hit the green?
No, on separate days. Each day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This rinsed one on Thursday, rinsed one on Friday, rinsed one on Sunday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So played the whole combined four over for, you know, for the week. I think that stood out to me, right? Like, he struggled pretty much all week, final round 76, finished like T20.
Put me in, coach.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is Rory is so good. The next hole after he rinsed it, he hit it to like 5 feet on a 200-yard par three and made birdie. It just is frustrating. I love Rory. Big fan. Stuff like that, it blows my mind.
You've heard me say this a million times. There is nothing prettier and more confident than Rory McIlroy striding off of a tee knowing he's got his A game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Tiger fan through and through, but – when Rory is on it and he is walking with his chest up and his chin up, we haven't seen that in a
while. Yeah.
Maybe that at Dubai we saw it a little bit when he won. But even then it didn't feel like he was just out here strutting his stuff.
No.
A lot going on upstairs. A lot going on.
It seems like
it. He's the poster child of the PGA right now. So.
Well, ex-poster child. I think he's kind of out of all that stuff.
Well, yeah, because he was the whipping boy. He wasn't actually the poster child.
Right. Yeah.
Poor guy.
And, so I don't know. We can only speculate, right, what all the stuff going on in his head, but it's got to be a lot. He struggled with the putter a little bit, and I just feel like there's a lot of stuff floating around in his head, and I know he wanted to play kind of his way into form for the Masters, right? And he's obviously got another good chance at the Players to kind of find some form, but as we look, the last, you know, four or five events or so, he's been trending kind of in the wrong direction, kind of the exact opposite of what he was hoping for in these first, you know.
Can you pull that up real quick?
The trend table?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just looking at the Data Golf trend table.
Oh, he's right at the bottom there.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yes. So, again, yeah, he's not trending in the right direction, but win a T66, T24, T21, T21. So, no missed cuts. Couple top 20s.
Yeah. I mean, just his caliber is, you know, those aren't bad finishes, but we just expect more from,
yeah,
from someone as talented as Rory.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Long season. Still early.
Yeah.
And, again, he's trending up if we get rid of the first event.
That's kind of true. I was going to take a look at his scorecard.
To the 76?
Weekly stats. Yeah, 76 in the final round. Let's say looking at the events. Strokes gained wise, strokes gained total, just plus over a half a stroke. Struggling on approach, minus 1.2 for the week. Putted it averaged, a little bit better than average, but really the irons and the approach play is for me watching all week was obviously driver's still hitting it good. Putter, yeah, he putted okay actually, I thought, throughout the week. But just some uncharacteristic misses with the irons, so I feel like there's a lot floating through his head right now, and obviously hoping to find some form. I don't know, what do you feel like is missing from Rory's game right now?
I think the luck.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing missing. For the guy's golf game is bulletproof.
Yeah. Is it lapse of just focus on some of those squirrely shots?
There was obviously something visually in his head.
Yeah.
To hit the same shot in the water three different times.
Right. Yeah.
And
they weren't even, they were all like 20 yards off the shoreline.
Yeah. I'm sounding very dumbfounded because this is, you know, one of the greatest golfers to ever live, and he's still in peak physical condition. He doesn't have any injuries going on.
Right.
And it's not, he's T21.
Yeah.
With a 4 over on the final day. He shoots even on the final day, and he's tied for 6th place.
I know, but he goes out in 41 on Sunday, his first 9 in the final round.
Listen, again, could I go out and shoot 41 in the final round? Probably not.
No.
Just kidding. Hopefully I could, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's a little cluttered upstairs maybe.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody has to go through a longer presser every week than him.
Right.
Nobody's getting hammered more with questions about Liv and the PGA and all his friends that have left. And
yeah.
Are they still your friends? And yeah, there's got to be a million things going on up there.
I guess that's maybe just where I fall out. It's just like, it's just mentally, probably physically exhausted just from everything.
Yeah.
Golf game's taking a backseat, and now he's kind of trying to get back to it, you know, and that wears at you.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So we'll see. We'll see how I bounce back this week with the players. But you know what? He's one good event, you know, from kind of putting himself, finding some form, right? I mean, I don't think it takes much. It's just, he just needs a good result this week, and I think he'll be back on his way. I hope, but we will see.
We're acting like he missed a cut.
I know, but we just have a high bar for
someone. Yeah, for who, excellence, that's right.
For someone who hits it as well as he does.
Yeah.
We just expect
more. Yeah, I was going to say, you could pull up every single one of those swings he rinsed if you want, and I don't think there's going to be a whole lot wrong with them.
No.
Just some commitment issues.
Probably so. Know. Yeah. Yeah.
So what does that mean? If he's got commitment issues, where is he struggling? Impact.
Yeah.
You know? Mentally, he's rushing. It's just the same thing as what we were talking about Scotty's putter, and the hardest thing to get an amateur golfer to understand. That's the unique thing about what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rory knows that he wasn't settled in that moment. And Rory knows how he'll go practice that so that it doesn't continue to happen.
Right.
But it's that unique thing. Maybe you could speak to this more, but if you're feeling unsettled in that moment, there's not a whole lot you can do to resettle yourself other than maybe reassess the game plan on the shot, at least from how I would coach it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Thinking back, like, maybe a little quick just in terms of the whole process of club selection and pre-shot routine and hitting the ball. I mean, it didn't look totally different, right?
Right, and so, yeah, it's a little rushed mentally, physically. You put him on a clock. I'm sure he was half second, not much, but maybe even a half second faster than his normal routine.
Yeah.
But when you're talking something that's in a 17 to 20-second window, a half second's a fair bit of time.
Right.
But
he plays pretty quick regardless. So
he does.
You know what I mean?
And it's the simple answer that I'd give one of my high school or college players would be, if you're not, if you can't get to that place where you're fully committed, grab the 6-iron and bail out left. But this is the PGA Tour.
Right.
He knows statistically what he's missing if he doesn't go for it.
Right. I just, the thing was, so many guys were blown into the bunker on the right green high and just, you know, literally aiming at the bunker, and if it draw back to the middle of the green, great. But they were just like, yeah, we'll just hit a 15-20-yard bunker shot and take our chances there. It's like, it's just not the miss, right? The miss is blow it in the bunker and take your chance of getting up and down, and that doesn't calculate with the Rory I know mentally, right? Like, obviously he knows that the miss is in the bunker, so.
And he obviously knows that the miss isn't in the water.
Right.
So
exactly.
He didn't intentionally do any of those things, and it's that's where it's hard to try to be like, oh, well, this is exactly what he did wrong.
Right.
I can tell you what the club face did at Impact. Sure. It was hooded. Sure. It was shut.
Sure.
He's not dumb to that. He knows that.
Yeah.
It's probably why he didn't rinse it a second time like my stupid self thought you were saying. But, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
should we look forward to next week?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a look at players. Players Championship coming up next week. I don't know. Who stands out? Pick for the players. If you had to pick a winner, a top fiver, and a top tenner, who would you be going with? Give me a reason why, if you would.
Yeah, I think potential dark. I haven't looked at any of the Vegas odds. I don't gamble, but I should rephrase that. I'll gamble with Michael on a golf course, but I don't gamble on other people playing golf. You know, a top tenner, I think, a little dark horse. Guy, if you are a gambler, you could put into a parlay of a made cut, is Sahith Theegala.
Yeah.
The guy's just wicked consistent. He likes to step up at these kinds of events. He finished sixth this past week. I mean,
I'm picking Shane for...
To
you
win.
Know what? I'll put it out there.
I like it. I think Theegala's got a good chance to win it.
Shane with like I said, I didn't look at the weather conditions, but just gritty player, good Florida golf player, can deal with wind and cold weather, and he's been trending in the right direction. He's been in contention the last couple weeks, so I'll pick him. Just why not?
I'll do it just to buck the whole argument we just had or discussion anyway. Rory.
Rory, okay.
I think what this event means to the PGA and what it means to Rory, he's going to try it. I think he's going to show up. I do.
Yeah, I'll pick Rory for a top 10. I'd be curious to watch his Saturday, Sunday rounds, you know, and see how he kind of moves up or down the leaderboard on Saturday and Sunday. I think that'll be a big precursor to, you know, kind of events in the future and Masters obviously coming up because this is obviously a big event. Here are the players.
Scroll down a little bit here.
Yeah. Maybe some dark horses in here.
Ooh. I could see Hideki and his caddy showing out this week.
Yeah.
What a duo, those guys.
No doubt. Yeah.
I
don't know about Xander.
I'd like Jordo to have a good week this week. I really do.
Yeah.
I do.
We'll see. Maybe I'll pick Ludvig for a...
Not have a 77 in his third round.
A top Jesus. Five.
Oh, that's not a bad one.
Yeah.
I don't... Will this be his first players?
It will.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure, right?
Pretty sure it will.
Absolutely.
I would love to see Lucas Glover come out and... you know, back up the statements he made this week. If anybody didn't hear what he was saying I'll try and give you an abridged version. Just essentially talking about how he doesn't feel like what the changes that have happened for the PGA Tour and the purses. And so Lucas Glover is just saying that over the last couple of years, he doesn't believe that the changes that the PGA Tour has made with the purses and the elevated events is helping to elevate the level of golf on the PGA Tour. What he believes that it's doing is excluding the guys that need the financial means to be able to stay around to get their game where they want to as professionals. He's saying we're rewarding the best players in the world more and not trying to elevate the tour as a whole through what we're doing. And he then made the statement that, you know, the Players is the signature event for the PGA Tour. You know, it's the fifth major. The PGA is pretty proud of this event, and I agree with him. And again, why I'm excited to hopefully see him come out and have a good week.
Yeah, be a good thing to see. Scrolling through the field list, Victor Hovland's gonna be kind of quiet.
Not his pants.
we don't have all the time to talk about those, but my gosh, they were fuchsia, maybe.
I was going to say, like, highlighter pink.
Highlighter pink.
They were fusion. Good.
Yeah, they were bright, needless to say. So, yeah, we'll see.
Cantlay will probably have a good week, too.
Yeah, Cantlay will quietly have a good week. I think Jay Day played well last year, maybe?
Well, he's going to have too much clothes. If the wind blows, it'll blow away. Baggy clothes he's wearing.
I was looking at – I had the last year's leaderboard pulled up from, but let's see if I can find it here. Course wise, obviously a fun stretch of holes, 16, 17, 18 to finish Sawgrass. Exciting for the fans, anxiety provoking for the players. I don't know, your thoughts, Tony, on those holes?
Nothing about 17 seems hard from your couch.
No, it doesn't.
You're going, what? It's 120 yards.
Right.
That thing's giant.
Right.
You know it's bigger? The pond and the grandstand behind the green. So those things stick out quite a bit to the players.
Yeah. And 16 feels like a hole you need to birdie. Right, and obviously with the whole course, it's a whole bunch of risk reward, right? But just knowing that that's a hole you need to make one on, right? And then knowing, obviously, 17's got its trickiness with wind and the environment around it, and the where it sits, obviously, coming down the stretch, and then also 18 tee shots, no walk in the park easy. So we'll see. Obviously, whoever kind of walks through those holes well over the week has got a good chance to be moving up the leaderboard, considering they play the rest of the course well.
Yeah. I think the winner will be probably two or three under on the event through those three holes.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some catastrophes on 17. There always are. Someone always makes them. Makes a 5, 6, or 7.
Seems back to like. Your dark horse pick. I don't know that there's a gag reel of Shane Lowry on 17. I don't think he's had. Yeah. I think he's had a couple. I think everybody's had a couple.
Everyone's had a little scar tissue.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Tony. We'll have to keep an eye out. See how that shakes up. Who'd you say your winner was? Did you say Rory?
Rory. Nah, probably not though. No, I really like Sahith Theegala to get it done this week. I do.
Okay.
Or Patrick Cantlay, which,
yeah,
good on him. Wouldn't be the most exciting thing for me,
right?
But good for him good if he does. Him. Yeah.
Be fun to watch. Well, thanks for joining us. We look forward to bringing you some more engaging conversations all centered around golf and performance all year long. Major season is just around the corner, so...
Comes hot and heavy.
Yeah, so it's going to be coming pretty quick. So we look forward to exploring it all with you. But until next time, cheers.
Cheers, guys.